a North American student at UC Berkeley who has been active on the campus at Cal Berkeley in the student protests and who is interested in joining the Uhuru Solidarity Movement contingent at the March 20th anti-war mobilization, which we will also say more about later on in the program. March 20th, just a little less than a week from today, we'll kick off our week of action to stop U.S. colonial wars here and abroad. So regarding the economic crisis in California, I just wanted to say that we owe basically our understandings of this economic crisis and the crisis of imperialism to the philosophy of African internationalism, which is led by Chairman Omalia Shetela, which has been developed by Chairman Omalia Shetela. And we also really credit Chairwoman Penny Hess, who is the national chairwoman of the African People Solidarity Committee, for really deepening our understanding of just how the economic crisis of imperialism is playing out. And back in August, we talked about the crisis in California on this show. California is really important to talk about because it is one of the most populous states in the United States. It makes up, in fact, 13% of the gross domestic product of the United States. And if you look at it independent of the U.S., it represents 8th to 10th largest economy in the whole world. So when we talk about the crisis of parasitic capitalism, this is a big deal to see the California economy in crisis. And some of the most recent statistics, unemployment in the state is the third highest in the U.S. And in eight counties, unemployment has hit 20%, and namely Merced and Imperial County, which I'm sure have a majority Latino or Mexican population. In this January, the Governor Schwarzenegger released a budget that stated that less money will be spent on prison health care, transport and environmental programs, and also there is this huge struggle regarding public education. So this is a $20 billion budget deficit, and the governor has announced that the cuts are going to be painful. And we already know that there's going to be $8.1 billion in education cuts and health insurance for poor families, and this is going to have devastating effects on the lives of mainly African and Mexican families. So we're looking at this crisis in California that has really come to a head over the last several years. People know about the housing crisis, of course, that has hit disproportionately African and Mexican people. Places like Sacramento and Stockton, California, where in some neighborhoods, 1 out of 10 homes is in a state of foreclosure. And this has had a devastating impact on these communities. So we want to take a look at this, and most importantly, we want to understand that this economic crisis didn't just start a couple years ago, and that the economic crisis started for African and oppressed people when Europe, in order to rescue itself from poverty, disease, and feudalism, went out and attacked, pirated, and conquered Africa, went out and invaded these lands that were inhabited by indigenous peoples, and right here by Mexican people. We're sitting on top of Mexico now that was stolen in 1850 by the United States government. So the crisis is not anything new for colonized people. We also can't talk about the economy of California without discussing the California prison system. This is one of the largest prison systems in the world, and this system is something that has grown exponentially over the last several decades. It is part of a counterinsurgency war against the African and Mexican population. And just to say, there's been recent articles talking about the so-called underclass, you know, which is really about colonized people, a colonial war carried out against African and Mexican people. Through the prison system, we saw in the early 80s the imposition of crack cocaine coming into California. That was the first place that we know it came into, and all the laws that were put in place to grow the prison system from 20,000 people to 167,000 plus in the course of 20 years. So this thing that is the prison system has contributed immensely to this crisis. And I mean, we have to look at a governor who was funded by the so-called California Peace Officers, which is, you know, an arm of the United States government, California state government, repressive organization that contributed to his campaign, $10 billion in 2007. So this is really important because we know that the California prison system is one of the largest in the world, and that's just the state of California. That there has been constitutional rights violations in terms of the brutality, the basic conditions. And right now, this manifests itself in prisons that are overcrowded. And the solution, of course, is not to build more prisons, but to create a society, you know, to create a world that does not have these state repressive organizations. So we're gonna address that. And I mean, fundamentally, we can see that the political economy of California had its origins in the Gold Rush, which was a brutal genocide of the indigenous population of California by European settlers seeking futures and fortunes at the expense of the Ohlone, the Miwok, the Shasta, the countless indigenous peoples on these lands who still suffer today. And several years after this onslaught, of course, the territory of California, along with Nevada, Utah, California, Arizona, was stolen from Mexico, forcing thousands of indigenous peoples colonized by the Spanish off their land and subjugated to colonial status. So we think it's important from the African People Solidarity Committee and the Uhuru Solidarity Movement to be really honest about the nature of the system that we're dealing with, and that we can't just talk about budget cuts and the inability for us to get an education or anyone to get an education in this system in isolation. And I'm joined here with Bill Canada, who is also a member of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement and leads work in Uhuru Foods. And I just like to introduce Bill Canada real quickly to talk about for a minute just how important it is for people to join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement.
Uhuru, well, thank you, Wendy, and I appreciate the African People's Socialist Party for again allowing us to be on the air. What I wanted to say is that as we're talking about the education system and the cuts that are happening, the work that we do with Uhuru Foods, which is part of Uhuru Solidarity Movement, is really important. And we saw it yesterday at our food booth at the farmers market, where 7 UC Berkeley students actually participated. And they really expressed their solidarity and their unity with helping with the food work ongoing now. And they said it was really important to get off the campus and go into Oakland and to go into other areas and, you know, and do real work. These are students studying sociology. One person is a political economy student, and so on. And I think it's really important to be public with the work that we're doing, what we're calling on people to do. And the more we do that, we see people responding very positively. So, we have the different institutions up and running. And, from the radio today, I encourage anyone listening, if you're not already a member of Uhuru Solidarity Movement, become a member. $25 a year, $10 a year for a student membership. And it's a way to say that, you know, you back this with your money. You back the work of the Solidarity Movement, and you want to stay close to us. That doesn't mean that you're out at every event necessarily, but you are getting emails and flyers and mailings and keeping abreast of the work of the Solidarity Movement.
All right. Thank you, Bill. I really appreciate that. So we're going to continue with this discussion around the California, the crisis in the California economy, the student movement, and the budget cuts, the way that affects the African and Mexican and other oppressed communities, and our role in solidarity with the people's struggles, which is really important, as Bill said. I wanted to just go to a quick music break, and we'll continue our discussion.
Stand up.
All right, Uhuru. So we are back on with Solidarity Not Charity. And we're getting a little echo, so we're going to adjust our volume here. And I would just like to reintroduce the program that we're doing. My name is Wendy Snyder. We're talking from Oakland, California. And we are talking about the crisis in the California economy, the budget cuts, and the fact that this is part of a crisis of imperialism. So I wanted to continue this discussion and just say that we understand that this in this time of crisis, we have a situation where on college campuses, which are supposed to be our ticket to the American dream, right, for everyone. This is supposed to be our ticket to a better future, and particularly for African and Mexican and colonized students. This is an important struggle that's happening on the campuses. And hold on 1 second. We just have a technical issue here. We will be continuing our discussion momentarily. All right, so we're back at it. So we're definitely going to keep going with this discussion. And the situation is that we understand that in a time of crisis of the system, white nationalist attacks escalate. And we see the escalation of police violence. In Oakland here, we've seen 1 year since Oscar Grant, there have been half a dozen African people murdered by the police. We've seen the imposition of martial law, police containment, and this is now under a neo-colonial, which is a black mayor who's carrying out a war on drugs, war on gangs. These are code words that have been in existence for decades, and they are code words for the war on the African and Mexican community. So we see that that the attacks on Mexican people, indigenous people, so-called immigrants, have increased, which, by the way, have increased under the Obama administration. And then we see what's happening on the campus. In a second, we're going to turn to a clip from the UC San Diego students. But first, I would like to read a little bit about the struggle that's going on at UC San Diego. There is a Black Student Union statement that's you can read on Facebook that calls a state of emergency. And I thought this was really a courageous struggle that the African students, not only from UC San Diego, but also other campuses, took on to challenge the white nationalist attacks that are happening there. And they say that it's with crucial concern and urgency that they write this letter to bring to your attention the state of the campus climate for African-American students at UC San Diego, that the university is allowing the African students to be racially demoralized by a group of students on the campus. And people who are listening may have heard about the Compton cookout. And this was a white fraternity that held a cookout, a party, that was a caricature of African people. And when this group of students came together to protest, they exposed the university's just blanket marginalization of them, the fact that the African students don't have a voice on campus, and that it brought up larger issues of equity and access to the resources on the campus. So we're just going to play a little clip of this protest that was really powerful, that was held last month. And here we go. To share that it's a protest that goes on for the chants go on for about 10 minutes straight, and the African students are chanting real action, real pain. And just to continue with their statement, they say it's a state of emergency. The university is in direct violation of its principles of community. Students do not feel safe on this campus, and it's affecting their everyday lives. And we need direct action from the university immediately. The students involved in the shameful racist acts should be suspended from the university for spreading hateful messages about the African community. So I wanted to play that because I think that it's really important. In fact, after this demonstration, there was a noose, you know, the symbol of the hundreds of years of lynching of African people by white people, that was hung, I believe, at the university library. And we have to look at this situation and say, as white people, that we oppose the white nationalist attacks. We oppose the attacks on African and Mexican and oppressed peoples that are coming down in every aspect of their lives. I mean, here is the UC system, a prestigious university system, and African students who are the top of their class and go to this system face these kinds of attacks. And so we say it's outrageous, but it's not surprising. It's indicative of the hostility that white people have had to African and other oppressed peoples because of the parasitic relationship that we have to them, and the fact that this system is founded on slavery and genocide. So I also wanted to, I next wanted to go to the situation at UC Berkeley, and there's no reason that I didn't have some state university and college community. It's just there's so much we can say about what's happening on the campuses. But I wanted to just do a short clip of a situation at UC Berkeley. And this is, there's a student there, Ramon Quintero, who describes earlier in this clip that I found about living in an RV and having to live in an RV and go to UC Berkeley, coming out of class not knowing if his RV is going to be towed, his home is going to be towed away. And just the conditions that now, with this 32% increase, how that plays out and how that's affecting colonized people. So I just wanted to play a little clip of what's happening on campus there.
1,248,000,000, to be exact. The fee increase for undergraduates that is being proposed would come into effect over the course of this January to this July, but then we return one-third of that to financial aid in order to see to it that students that come from households making less than $70,000 don't have to pay any of the fee increase. The history of free speech on this campus, the activism that brings that free speech together in public forums and in organized efforts is part of the glory of this place. We expect that there's going to be protest because everybody is being hurt, and hurt to an unprecedented extent.
Well, today we are here at Sproul Plaza, historic site for the free speech movement, and we are here to demonstrate our unhappiness to the fee hikes and the budget cuts. So I am here to put my body forward and my presence to show support and solidarity with all the students of UC Berkeley and throughout California.
It is not business as usual when workers are laid off. It is not business as usual when faculty are told to shut up and put up. It is when in Sacramento, Governor Schwarzenegger talks about deeper and deeper spending cuts.
High University! High University!
All right, so I think it was important to play that clip and let people know what is happening at just down the street from us and here in Oakland at UC Berkeley. And I just wanted to, before we play the interview that I conducted with Zach Solomon, a North American or white student on the campus of UC Berkeley, I wanted to just put, you know, the whole question of the student movement into a quick context. And I think that we have to say that the educational system under imperialism is a way that the ideology is reproduced. And African people in this country were denied education as slaves until formal slavery ended, when they were able to receive a certain access to education. And that during the height of the civil rights and black power movement of the 60s, it was the struggle of African workers that inspired African students and other students everywhere, in particular looking at San Francisco State, the way they shut down the university and started the first Black Studies program, where you started to see the influence of the Black Power and National Liberation movements on the campus. And it was also the organizing that SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, did, the students and workers of this African-led organization in the South during the 60s, that inspired the white students like Mario Savio to lead the free speech movement at UC Berkeley and opening up that campus. So that even in this current student movement, with this current student movement, you know, that has its history in the resistance of African and oppressed people to have freedom and justice, not just the right to go to college under imperialism, but the right to self-determination as an entire people. And the Uhuru movement has built a student organization called the African International Student Organization, AISO. So I wanted to put that in context. And fast forward to 2010, where we have the crisis of imperialism hitting California, the attacks on colonized people, and the so-called higher education campuses that are increasing their fees. And so yesterday I spoke, like I said, with Zach Solomon, who is an organizer on campus, who is someone that we are looking forward to working with. We just met, and we're looking forward to working with him in terms of bridging the gap. And these are his words, but I think it's important, bridging the gap between Oakland and Berkeley, meaning that we want to connect students with our interests as a Uhuru Solidarity Movement, is to connect students, win students to join Uhuru Solidarity Movement, and see that it's critical that we not just take a stand against the cuts in public education, but that we really join organization and put our identity, you know, and our struggle in the context of the struggle for African liberation, national liberation of oppressed peoples on the planet. That's the way forward. So you are listening to Solidarity Not Charity on Uhuru Radio. I just wanted to identify the station here. This is Uhuru Radio, the online voice of the African Revolution, International African Revolution. So we're going to hear from student organizer Zach Solomon.
Hi, we're on.
All right, so I just really want to thank Zach Solomon for... Okay.
to be interviewed and to also be participating in a lot of political motion on the UC Berkeley campus. And I just want to, you know, just kind of reiterate a little bit about this subject that we're addressing today on Solidarity Not Charity, which is the budget cuts in California, the crisis in the California economy, in the context.
I will just say, we'll talk about it more later.
All right, so I just really want to thank Zach Solomon for being willing to be interviewed and to also be participating in a lot of political motion on the UC Berkeley campus. And
hi, Ron.
All right, so I just really want to thank Zach Solomon for being willing to be interviewed and to also be participating in a lot of political motion on the UC Berkeley campus. And I just want to, you know, just kind of reiterate a little bit about this subject that we're addressing today on Solidarity Not Charity, which is the budget cuts in California, the crisis in the California economy in the context of the crisis of imperialism. And we're going to be looking at the prison system and just the connections between the crisis locally and globally, and what that means for African and oppressed peoples and for people who want to show genuine solidarity with oppressed people's struggle for liberation. So Zach and I met on Facebook, and I'm really glad that you're active and involved. And I just wanted to start out with just having you say a little bit about, you know, the nature of your involvement, if your organization, if you have an organization on campus, and what you've been up to at UC Berkeley.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't say I have a very specific political or like one group that I align with specifically. I'm pretty much, I like to kind of go to a lot of the existing organizations that exist and just kind of see how I can, you know, how I can support and get involved in what they're doing. And I also just kind of, like, it's very informal, but there's like a real community developing of students and staff and faculty, but, you know, undergrad and graduate students that are really, that have been really inspired. And like it started off with, you know, it began with the budget cuts, but I think that opened a lot of people's eyes to, you know, just the inextricable links between the dismantling of public education, as well as, you know, how privatization has gradually been forcing itself upon careers and institutions of public life, you know, healthcare. The housing, how it's related to the housing crisis, the defunding of social services over the past, 20, 30 years, and the privatization of prisons. So for me, personally, how I got involved, I guess, in just as far as like, so I've been a student at Berkeley, I was a transfer student, I'm older, I'm 26 years old. So I had gone to Berkeley for 2 years. I took some time off, and then I came back to Berkeley last semester. And I had always just had—I knew about some stuff that was going on campus, but I had always had an attitude and just kind of a cynicism, skepticism about, you know, student causes, student groups, and I felt like there was a disconnect between, you know, theory and practice. So I've always been more interested in like local issues that affect, you know, oppressed peoples in this city of Berkeley, like right where we are right now, that there's a huge population of people that live outdoors and that are, you know, undergo daily harassment and degrading practices by, you know, UCPD and also Berkeley PD. So that's always been an issue that I've been, you know, very passionate about, and have a lot of experience with myself. And also, you know, communities in Oakland that are oppressed and subject to police targeting and violence and brutality and the degrading nature of imprisonment. And, you know, I spent a lot of time living in Oakland and also working in public schools in East Oakland and North and West Oakland, also in Richmond, working in group homes. So that was like, and Harlem before I came back out to the Bay Area. So that's kind of my background, kind of where I'm coming from. So I'm not your typical graduate at 18 from high school, you know, go to you know, Cal and just kind of like have a conscientious perspective and then decide to get involved in these issues. I was definitely committed to this, have been committed to social justice and social change for a long time, and just made a decision very young that this is what I wanted to dedicate my life to. And that's fine. I mean, different people have different levels of, you know, involvement and different degrees of commitment. So the budget cuts, it, you know, the 32% fee increase, it didn't surprise me. You know, right. This is like business as usual. This is what people do, especially in times of economic crisis. They will use that as an excuse to justify hoarding money at the top.
That's right.
Right? Because they're also scared that, like, you know, they're, you know, the top 5% or whatever, they're scared that they're going to lose money. So
I mean, you can look at the parallels with the bankers on Wall Street, of course.
Right.
The people that lost all the homes, they never got any money
right.
to address the fact that they were given these subprime mortgages that Wells Fargo called ghetto loans.
Right.
You know, the African people that lost their homes never got any redress for that. And yet the fat cats, the Goldman Sachs and all those people at the top, of course,
right, get their bailout.
Got paid by the United States.
Right.
So
it's definitely
same parallel.
Yeah, and the budget cuts are definitely, to me, indicative of a systemic crisis. So it's not isolated. It's not just, oh, they're defunding public education. It's like this is directly connected to the similar attacks in different contexts throughout, you know, all of these institutions and public organizations and so for me, though, it was November 13th. I was finishing up my last semester here, and a friend of mine who I grew up with was just happened to be walking by my place, and he and I were both working on our respective theses to graduate. And he comes in, and we start talking about our theses. The title of mine was Living Outdoors: A Radical Reframing of the HMS Debate in Berkeley, California. And HMS is like, not exactly an acronym, but it's like a zip code, as the originator of the term would call it, like a condensed version of homeless, which is a term I don't use, I'm not comfortable with, and I feel like,
exactly.
Right, is very degrading.
Dehumanizing.
Because
right.
it's a condition. Like, first of all, home is a concept, mm-hmm. not house. But I don't like the term houseless either, because that's also...
has a class-based, right?
Right,
not
it's attached.
Not everyone lives in a house.
Right.
Right. I just wanted to interject. I mean, I think it's really interesting that you say that you reject that term homeless, because the Uhuru movement back in the 80s had a tent city in downtown Oakland, and were raising up the question of, there were two measures on the ballot, Measure O and Measure H, that were challenging the fact that the property owners did not live in Oakland, and then challenging the property relations in the fact that they were saying that you should not pay more than a minimal percentage of your income to your housing. And so it was a significant struggle that the Uhuru movement led, and it actually was probably what made the liberal nonprofit wing of imperialism create the term homeless, because these were mostly African and Mexican people who had no homes in Oakland, and yet there were empty houses
right.
everywhere. And
right.
I'm sure you know that from East Oakland. It's like the question is not a lack of housing.
Right.
It's a private
Access.
Property. It's the
right.
relationship.
It's
a colonial situation. So
yeah.
I appreciate that what you're studying.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there, I'm working on that. That was like my whole focus. And I was trying to work on first of all, a radical analysis, which I'm not going to get into here, but I think just the term itself is kind of indicative of what that radical analysis would entail, because just in terms of preconceived notions and judgments, and that we as indoor people, or, you know, more mainstream citizens have towards these people and their, you know, a disregard for them and their choice to live to live off the land in the urban context. So that I'm not going to get into that. I wrote 50 pages on it, and also a constructive program about how we can, facilitate and foster and provide these people with the rights to do that, and rights afforded to indigenous populations across the globe by, you know, international human rights standards. So I would liken, you know, the population that lives outdoors in Berkeley to like Roma or Gypsies. You know, that's their ethic, that's their culture, that's you know, how they choose to live versus, you know, having a job and a place to live there.
All right. Unfortunately, the interview got cut off for some reason. And as you have heard, we're a little technically challenged here in Oakland, but we are really appreciative of Zach Solomon. And he goes on later in the interview to discuss not only why he took action, but also just the connections that he and other students are making to the global situation for African colonized people, and the fact that that it's really imperative that we make this connection, that we can't just be fighting around the budget cuts per se for ourselves, and the fact that we're upset about paying more money for tuition. But this is in the context, as we've been saying, of a crisis of imperialism. The real necessity for us as North American or white people to get on board, to disconnect, to disengage from a war-driven system, a parasitic death system that has wreaked havoc on the peoples of the planet, and to really forge a new identity of solidarity with African and oppressed peoples. And that is fundamentally but what we're interested in. And we would like to just make it really explicit. We would like to build the Uhuru Solidarity Movement on the campuses, because we think that there are students interested in hearing this perspective and seeing the necessity of being organized under the leadership of the African Revolution. So we wanted to announce the Week of Action, and that is coming this Saturday, and we're kicking it off with the anti-war mobilization, and we are inviting you to gather with us at MacArthur Bart in North Oakland at 9:30 a.m. on Saturday, March 20th. And if you're coming from another place, you can meet up with us at 10:30 a.m. at the corner of Larkin and McAllister Streets, which is one of the corners of the San Francisco Civic Center. And you can get there by going to the BART stop at Civic Center in San Francisco and coming out. And this is important. We want you to come and join the Uhuru Solidarity Contingent. We want to connect with the UC Berkeley student contingent and march under the banner of victory to the people, victory to African and oppressed peoples. Stop U.S. colonial wars, not only the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Colombia, but the war against African and indigenous peoples right here. So we're asking you to come out Saturday. There will be a rally at 11 at Civic Center Plaza. There will be a march from 12:30 to 1:30, and there will be a rally following the march. And Chairman Omali Eshetela, the leader and founder of the Uhuru Movement, the creator of the Black is Back Coalition for Social Justice, Peace, and Reparations, will be speaking at the rally. And he will be addressing the growing movement of African people here and abroad. And he's also the chairman of the African Socialist International. If you listened to Uhuru Radio earlier, Africa Live, they were discussing the recent trip to Kenya to build organization there. under the slogan of Touch One, Touch All. And we support that. We want to win all progressive North American and everyone we can to support this movement. We have something called the Africa's Resources and African, Join African Resources and African Hand Solidarity Action Network, which you can look you can find and join at uhurusolidarity.org. So that's going to be a powerful Saturday. And on Sunday, there will be an event at the Uhuru House. And that is Sunday, March 21st, which also happens to be the anniversary of the situation with Lavelle Mixon, where a young African man resisted the police containment of the African community by killing two police officers in the Oakland Police Department, possibly two more, but we do not know that for sure. And it's important for us to hear the perspective of the African working class community when they say that they need to resist the conditions in their community, the police occupation. And that event also will feature Omalia Shetela as well. That's at 4 o'clock at the Uhuru House on Sunday, March 21st, a week from today, at 7911 MacArthur Boulevard in East Oakland. You can find out more about that event at 510-569-9620. And then we have two events in one in Santa Cruz. And I'm wondering, Bill, if you can announce that event that's happening in Santa Cruz on Monday, March 22nd.
Yeah, the event in Santa Cruz will be a teach-in at the Loudon Nelson Center. That's at 301 Center Street, Santa Cruz. 7 p.m. this Monday, March 22nd, and we encourage all the people that we've met through Uhuru Pies. We sell, it's one of our larger fundraisers we do down in Santa Cruz. Any person we've met through that, please come out. You'll have a chance to hear, again, Omalia Shetela and Penny Hess, the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee. That'll be a great evening. Then, on Tuesday, March 23rd, we'll be back in Oakland at the Humanist Hall, and that's at 390 27th Street in Oakland near Broadway Auto Row. That event will begin at 7 p.m., probably goes 7 to 9. Again, it's a great opportunity to hear Chairman Omalia Shetela, Chairwoman Penny Hess, as they break things down, get really concrete about what's going on in the world, and what you can do to participate in the work that we've already initiated through the Uhuru movement.
Thank you, Bill. And I also want to say that the week continues with work. We're calling on people to volunteer at Uhuru Furniture, and Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles will have a volunteer day on Saturday, March 27th. And that is a project of the African People's Education and Defense Fund. It's an economic development program that supports the different economic projects, economic development projects, like the commercial kitchen that's being built out of the Uhuru House that's going to generate funds for the African community, and is a significant economic institution because it's tied to a whole strategy of independence for African people. So Uhuru Furniture in Oakland will have a volunteer day on this Saturday, March 27th. We will continue our food booth that Bill spoke about earlier at the Grand Lake Farmers Market. And that's in operation from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's another way you can participate. And then on Sunday, March 28th, from 10 a.m. to noon, we will have our Uhuru Pies 2010 kickoff meeting. And that will be taking place at the World Grounds Cafe, which is in East Oakland in the Laurel District, at 3726 MacArthur Boulevard. I wanted to see if Bill wanted to say a few things about that meeting, because that's a significant meeting that we want everyone to attend. You can tell Bill can tell us a little more about Uhuru Pies.
It is, thank you, Wendy. It is our 30th anniversary of the Uhuru Pies. It's something that began as a fundraiser to raise just really necessary resources from the get-go. The pies, I guess, were, this was before my time, but they were sold at theaters. They were sold from on the street at in front of, you know, stores. And that's grown over the years. And what we're really looking to do in 2010 is transform our pie campaign into really a single month. It's going to happen in November. Instead of November and December, we're really going to consolidate our effort. We want to be everywhere at, you know, from 3 days before Thanksgiving till Thanksgiving. We want to be everywhere you're at. And that means from Santa Cruz up to Santa Rosa. But to make this all happen, it means we need your participation now. You know, we're saying Thanksgiving in March, you know, but that's what it's going to require to really kick off the pies and make it as big and as wonderful as we can come November. I did, talking with students yesterday, they are very interested in having a meeting with the pies up on campus at UC Berkeley. And another young man that helped with the booth works with EA, what is it, Entertainment Arts video work. And he said, man, we need to get the pies into my office. All people do is sit around and eat. You know, so that's great. I mean, there are a million ways to hook up with us, but we look forward to, you know, getting your support, your commitments early this year as we build the 2010 Uhuru Pies bigger and better than ever.
All right. Thank you, Bill. So I just wanted to put out our contact information for Oakland. If you are listening, there is a number of places that have chapters of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. So I did want to mention that. There is St. Petersburg, Florida, which is also where the international office of the Uhuru Movement, the African People's Socialist Party, is. But there's an Uhuru Solidarity Movement chapter there. There's also one in Philadelphia. And you can go on our website to find this information for Philadelphia, which is getting ready, as we are here in Oakland, to kick off a whole Earth Day event in April. There's also a growing chapter in New York City, I understand. And in here in Oakland, you can contact us at oakland@uhurusolidarity.org. You can find us on Facebook at Uhuru Solidarity Oakland. And you can also email us at oakland@uhurusolidarity.org. You can join the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. For students, it's only $10 a year. That's a bargain. And this is a way that you can really put yourself in alliance, you know, aligned with the African Liberation Movement. And you can also help us sustain our organization. It's $25 for people who are not students and $10 for students. So we encourage you to go to Uhuru Solidarity .org to join. And anybody can join the Africa's Resources in African Hands Solidarity Action Network, and that is completely free. That's a way for you to be in touch with all the campaigns of the Uhuru Movement. And don't forget to join as a subscriber to Uhuru Radio to keep this station alive, to allow it to expand and grow. And you can do that by going to the Uhuru Radio page on Uhuru News. Uhuru News is an excellent, excellent source for information about what's happening throughout the African world. Summation on Haiti, you can go and listen to Chairman Omalia Chatella's presentation on Haiti.